Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you well this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, things are fine here.
What's happening in Pakistan? How's everything there?
More rain in Karachi. It was bad last night. I didn't go outside today too far, but the places that had dried out and had leveled out and everything, they're now flooded again. Our main thoroughfare is flooded. It was on the news. So we're asking for dua. It's rough. Not as bad as Punjab, but it's still bad. I haven't read about anybody dying, but it's definitely uncomfortable traveling. Okay. I think schools might be closed also today. I'm not sure.
Yes, Allah make it easy for you people. The Ummah's du'as is constantly with you people, and of course Afghanistan and Palestine, who can forget? And I've just seen this morning certain things which were really, really strange, and it's a lot. Yesterday we spoke about eggs. I think today we're going to be speaking about pigs, because just in Texas. Now, we know Texas, just recently we've done that program of the Quran burning in Texas. Okay. This morning I've seen that there was a few incidents around the world, and we just go to Texas first. It's the Texas governor, Greg Abbott. He's announced a ban on Sharia law in the state after an imam launched a campaign to pressure Muslim-owned stores to stop selling pork, alcohol, and lottery tickets. He's the imam of Masjid al-Tawheed, so he was seen in a viral footage confronting store employees, accusing the business of selling haram products forbidden under Islamic law. Of course, across the board, there's no difference of opinion in the selling pig and the rest, alcohol, pig. These are not things anybody can sell. So, but this Texas governor, he came out and he said, I'm signing laws that ban Sharia law and Sharia compounds in Texas. No business and no individual should fear fools like this. He called him a fool. Now, the imam, we haven't done research who is here on it, but on this basis, he went and he was out on a good cause. The governor also addressed the imam. He said, if this person or any attempts to impose Sharia compliance, report it to local law enforcement or the Texas Department of Public Safety. He said, in Texas, they believe in equal rights under the law of all men, women, and children. So this year is, one is Muslims selling this year. That's a unheard of. But now you when you address it, then it seems like the governor is taking that so-called Muslim who's not worshipping on the edge only, but he's lost his iman by selling certain things. In Texas, Mufti Sahab, what's happening like this?
The Texas is a Christian Christian area, Baptist, white Baptist Christian. As we said before, that Texas is the largest pig farms in America. They're racist. This is where Bush is from. Bush and his family, they're from Texas. So this is not surprising. But we shouldn't even be going in this direction. Establish our own businesses. And this is also where Afia Siddiqui is. She's being held in the prison in Texas. Okay. And before that other woman, she did that foolish stuff, that politician woman. So anyway, we should be more concentrating on being united as Muslims and working as a Muslim community in a foreign country, even though many of the people there are born there. This is really a foreign country, a non-Muslim country. So you should act like you're in a non-Muslim country. America takes pride in being secular. There's division between religion and public life, or and the state, excuse me, between religion and the state. So yeah, there's not going to be any religious laws, whether they're Sharia laws or whether they're Christian laws. All right, the Christians have the Ten Commandments. Okay, that's not enforced in America. Okay, because there's separation. What you do on Sunday in church is one thing, and how you conduct your life the rest of the days is supposed to be different. So we can't expect to get any type of support about Sharia law, but that's a lot to get votes for the non-Muslim politician. We're not going to bring Sharia law here. We're not going to bring Sharia law here. That's a non-issue. What's the name already signed a bill or proposed a bill in the Congress a few years ago when the woman Muslim, I forget her name, Elham,
yes.
She from Minnesota, she put forth a bill that there'll be no Sharia law in America. And she's Muslim. Okay, so non-Muslim saying the same thing about Texas is no different. So it's drama and just collecting clicks and a pat on the back by America. It's nothing really to worry about. All right, what we need to worry about, Muslim stores that claim to sell halal and they're selling haram. We need to worry about that. This is just a political thing. That's no big deal.
And we saw that's exactly what the Imam is addressing. He's going to the Muslim stores and saying, how can you sell these things? So that's the major issue here. It's one is we can say, as we've said, there's no, you're fighting a losing battle by trying to say that the U.S. government must now enforce Sharia law. That's definitely unheard of. But the way we make the difference is where you as a Muslim can say, this is my store and I don't want to stock these products. Then you go against exactly what they want. But of course,
we've had this.
Yes.
Okay, we had this before when I accepted Islam back in 1974 in New York. Sheikh Dawood, rahmatullahi alayh, the West Indian imam in Brooklyn that I took shahada from, his masjid was in little Arab town. We called it Arab town because there was a lot of Arabs from Saudi and Yemen and other places who had shops there. Okay. And he was a West Indian, black West Indian. All right. And he was the imam there in that area. And on Jumas, after Juma, he would go to different restaurants and stores that were Muslim owned, that sold alcohol and pork and what have you. And he would throw rocks through the window. And this is in 1974. Mm. And he got arrested by the police because the shop owners complained about him. All right. So what do we learn to do? We learn not to go to those shops. All right. There's no talk about Sharia law and all that other stuff. And we moved on. Okay, when I was living in New York, in Queens, there's a lot of butcher shops that were owned by Muslims, okay, and they were selling, they have halal meat sign in the window, but yet they were selling beer and other things, and lottery tickets and all these other things that were halal. So, we would just go to someplace else. Don't make a bigger thing out of it. You talk to the people. You see where they're coming from. They're clean shaven, smoking cigarettes, pants shirt, and they're selling haram. All right, so you don't shop from them. You move on. If there was a butcher by the Tabligh Markaz, okay, and they sold halal meat and proper meat, Okay, so we started buying from them. So what would happen? The Muslims who are not practicing good, those butchers, they complained to the health department about the Tablighi butcher, okay, and got him closed down temporarily for health violations, too many rats or mice or whatever in the place. But we supported him, okay, and he stayed in business, and I think he's still in business. But that's what we have to do, all right? Forget about all that other stuff, you know? Just work on it like that. You buy halal and tayyib, and let Allah take care of the other people.
And I've seen that's exactly what's happening here. Currently, we're trying to launch this campaign of selling halal and tayyib, which Azad Mawlana ASPSI has been trying for many years. But when will it be enforced? Is really, as you've said, when you as the buyer and you as the seller, you've decided now that I'm going to do this here. So we keep that money within ourselves, and you're helping others grow, empowering others. And like this, you're giving the healthy, good, halal, pure alternative, everything that we need. But when I went to the Hakim Sahib the last time, it wasn't for myself, but it was for one of my daughters, then a profound statement, I may have shared it here on previous other occasions, but he said that we worried about boycotting Israeli products. Good, excellent. But also worry about the Israeli products which you do not know but you're consuming. In here in South Africa, I'll just share with you how these people operate. We've got a grocery store, Pick and Pay. I saw someone just copied it, and they just changed one letter in that whole thing, and they started their own. But it's just on a small scale, just one store I saw. So they name it Pack and Pay. So they just changed the I to an A, Pack and Pay. But Muslims say we're not going to Pick and Pay. We're going to boycott them. And they will say, I'm going to Boxer. It was just a matter of time till we found out that, okay, Boxer and Pick and Pay is one and the same when you look at the organizations and the owners and different names they unleash, but just to catch you in this regard. It's a famous tactic of theirs. So they won't say this product is made in Israel because the backlash that they're facing, it's huge. So they will minus that or not just try to hide that. But when you go into the details and do your thorough research, you find that this product is actually linked to Israel.
Right.
And it's just
the Prophet told us that before we buy anything, we should go to three different places, correct? Isn't that sunnah? So that shows that there should be some investigation when you buy something. I accepted Islam, and there was a company that sold itar, Abdul Karim. It was called Abdul Karim, and I would buy it because it smelled very good. And, you know, I'm a new Muslim. I want to identify with Islam. And the older brothers told me, listen, you can't buy that. I said, why not? Because they're owned by Jews. It's a Jewish company that put an Islamic name on it. Okay, so that the Muslims will be attracted to it and buy it. Okay, but I never investigated. But that, again, that was when I first accepted Islam. All right, after that, I've learned, you know, check everything, check everybody. I said, how do you know that they're Jewish? He said, we called the company, okay, and heard the, what's the recording on the phone. And did some more investigation and find out that everybody involved with that place is Jewish. There's not a Muslim involved there at all. The only thing Islamic is the name of the itar. So, yeah, we, again, like the Prophet ﷺ said, go to three places before you buy something. So that shows that there should be some investigation by us. Okay, and because someone says he's Muslim, no, he has to prove it with his deeds, with his actions. Not just with his mouth. especially nowadays.
The other place where they're doing this big kind of acts is in Paris. Paris, over a few masajid just overnight, they went, they took big heads and they put it outside the masjids. And one person made a strange statement. They said this is a secular country, a secular area. And people have freedom of speech, freedom of religion. But that exactly shows you that secular has nothing to do. It's to wean you off religion. But they used it to say that freedom of religion is this, what it means, secular. But the actual meaning of secular is to have attacks on Islam and everything else can be fine. Why would they put big heads outside these masajid? Of course, to irritate the Muslimin and fluster them and get them into this rage. But actually what it does is it just strengthens us. And it makes us
do it when they know there's no fear of retaliation. All right? You never heard about that happening in New York, in the masjid where you have reverts. Okay, that the people throw rocks through the windows, or they write graffiti on the walls, or they throw pig things in front of them. No, you only find that in places where it's a masjid, where there are immigrants who are afraid to fight back and will report things to the police and things like that. They don't know the history of America like we know it. Okay, and so again, in France, it's probably the same thing. The people know that if they do something against the Muslims won't fight back because the government is so strong against them, against the Muslims. But no, we have to fear Allah and fear Allah alone. And that's the thing. I don't like this at all. The cowardness that we have, starting from Gaza all the way down to local masjids. You know, all for 2 years almost, the Muslims are getting beaten up, and the Muslims are not doing anything to fight back. And so, you know, just to allow our masjid to have pigs thrown at them, that's nothing compared to the 60,000 that have been shaheed already in Gaza without a response.
Yes. Lastly, we've got about 10 minutes left, so we'll just talk about this. Yesterday, I'm sure you've seen, there's been Hamas leaders were attacked in Doha. Now, there's the whole talk where the U.S. was informed about these Israeli attacks beforehand, and they were too, or they did, one of the two. They did warn Qatar of this, but they were informed definitely. Is this cowardly to act in this manner, just going in a building? Of course, we can discuss as well, how did they find and pinpoint them? That's easy nowadays with the phones and all the technology which we're using. So it's easy to come. I mean, Google can give me a whole history if I want, if I activate it. Where my whereabouts for the entire month, who I visited, where I went, everything is there, exposed. And I actually deactivated it. But of course, these deactivations doesn't mean that they are blocked off from seeing and witnessing where your whereabouts are. Mufti Saab, can you just tell us more about this here, what's happening? How do they actually do these things?
You look at what Trump said about after the bombing in Qatar, that he's sorry that it happened, and he's disappointed. These are the type of words that he used. He knows that Doha is an ally, a strong ally of America. Qatar has the largest navy, American Navy fleet in their waters. Okay, and they've always supported America. They signed the Ibrahim Accords and all that. And this is what Israel does. And so it shows that America doesn't have a leash on their dog, on their wild dog, Benjamin. Right? He can do whatever he wants, and it will not be retaliated against. So allegedly, Bush said that he tried to warn them. He told the American Navy, the Defense Department, to warn Qatar about the bombing. But the Amir of Qatar said that, no, we didn't find out anything until after the bombing started. We were not warned in advance. All right, that's a lie. Okay, so Israel showing that they don't want any peace there. They're going forward with the extended Israel, okay? And they're going to bomb everybody that gets in their way. And no one, the United Nations or no one else is going to stop them. When Iran was negotiating in good faith about their nuclear facility, what did Israel do? They bombed Iran. Okay? Although they were at the table, although Iran was at the table with America to come up with a solution, that's when Israel bombed them. Okay? This shows what? They didn't want any type of treaty with Iran. Okay, so now the hostages situation, they were reaching an agreement for a ceasefire. So what did they do? They bombed Hamas. They tried to kill the people of Hamas in Doha, and those were the negotiating people, the people who were negotiating for the Gaza ceasefire. So again, it shows that they don't want peace. They want to kill, and they will not be criticized or anything else about that. So they're showing their true colors. We didn't see this for 77 years, but now we're able to see it.
And that coincides with that post you mentioned yesterday. I think you said the day before yesterday. Palestine has been trying for so long to expose Israel, but Israel is doing a better job than Palestinians did in 77 years.
Yeah, clearly. And we wanted to talk about AIPAC. I think we'll talk about AIPAC tomorrow, inshallah, if we have time.
Okay, you can just introduce to us AIPAC. What is it about?
Okay, because one of your listeners didn't know what AIPAC was. It's like the American-Israeli Action Committee, something like this. America has PACs, which is an abbreviation for Political Action Committees. These PACs they try to influence what goes on in American politics. Okay? Different people with different mindsets come up with PACs, like the National Rifle Committee. They have a PAC, all right? They try to influence the voting to keep the gun laws the way they are and don't take away the guns, all right? You have labor PACs. They're only concerned with labor laws, okay, and employee rights, all right? Then you have the Israeli PAC, okay, which is called AIPAC, okay? And they are only concerned with Israel. They're not concerned anything with America. They're only concerned with Israel. Okay. So they support both Democrats and Republicans. Okay? And get them elected so that they can pass laws that are favorable for Israel, whether it hurts America or not. So when we look at Joe Biden, he had received, before he, was kicked out, $5 million in his political lifetime of money from AIPAC so that he would vote, the way they want him to vote for things, all right, and to get him elected. Kamala Harris, she got so much money. Bush, not Bush, what's his name? Trump, the current president, okay, received millions of dollars to run for election, okay, and from AIPAC. So this is the only political action committee committee that supports both parties. Okay, so you look at the Charles Schumer, the highest ranking senator who is Jewish in America. He received like $2 million from AIPAC. All right, so he's going to vote according to the way they want it. All right, so both Democrats and Republicans receive money from AIPAC. So this is why we had said the other day that this is the only thing that both parties can agree on, support for Israel. Because Israel sends so much money to American politics to affect the politics, okay, of America. And they don't care about which party is. Now, if you're someone who don't take money from them or you don't agree with them, then they will support someone and to have them run against you. And they will give that person a lot of money so that he can run against you. And if he wins, all right, now once he's in there, now he has to pay them back by voting for everything that they want. So this is something you probably don't have in South Africa. But in America, it's, you know, it's part of the politics. And this is the most powerful political action committee in America. And what they have done is they've broken down into smaller groups. Because the most you can give, the most a PAC can give directly to a campaign is $5,000. But if you break down into smaller groups and each group gets $5,000, then you can get into the millions. You see? So this is how it's working.
It's interesting how they manipulate and how much time and money is being spent on this year. Just on Friday, we saw that Google spends about $45 million. They spent $45 million, and that's quite little compared to if you could put it collectively. But just to influence,
I think
this,
the owner is the Jewish too, huh?
Yes. So how are we going to boycott Google now?
by making your own Islamic search, okay, without pictures, without music, okay? Yeah, it won't be fun, but that's what we need.
And it's possible because there is all of these other competitors that is out there, and that's why Google has been under attack to a certain degree, because its AI and its bots are not responding accurately.
It can be
how
done.
You,
all of my students that I know, they're all computer scientists. All right, there's so many people here in Pakistan that are studying computers now. It can be done. There's no doubt. But we let the kuffar take the lead with everything. How many people know Lufthansa? Lufthansa, the German airline. They were the first people to have a prayer area for flyers. You're on the plane and you want to pray your namaz in the plane. All right, Lufthansa, the German airline, non-Muslim, was the first one to have an area. Okay, you can pray right over here, before Saudi airline, before any other airline.
Yes, it's just
we're waiting for the kuffar to do something.
And these Dubai airlines and that, they will sell the alcohol first, and they will give you that first instead. So they look at it, let's see how many kuffar we can please.
Yeah, Emirates, they brag about how they have the best wine menu in the whole world. It's more than $1 million worth of wine on their menu. So when you fly, you can drink the best wine on Emirates.
Inna lillah.
Yeah, that's where we are. That's where we are.
Let's leave us there and let's work on, inshallah, what you've mentioned. Inshallah, someone will be inspired. Hopefully one of your students as well. Make dua for us. Mufti Sahib, we'll meet and speak tomorrow. Jazakumullah khairan for that APEC, the last few minutes as well. That was really interesting. Tomorrow, if you want to elaborate more, we can speak on this, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.